السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Na first, express my gratitude towards yourselves for inviting HMC to present some of its responsibilities towards yourself. First, I'd like to obviously apologize that the ulama are sitting here, especially my own teachers, and maybe I'm not in a position to sit and speak in front of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow me to say that which is beneficial for the organization, inshallah. First and foremost, HMC is an organization which at the moment is concentrating on the certification of meat and poultry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Without even attempting to comment on these verses of the Quran, the ulama are well aware the responsibility of the Muslim ummah to consume primarily that which is halal, and in addition to that, that which is tayyib, good for one's own self, good for the community, good for everybody else. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, he explains about the nearing time of Qiyamah, that people will not be so mindful of what they consume and what they don't consume, whether it's haram or halal. And unfortunately, in this day and age, because of the meat and poultry being a very big business, it's come to a stage that whether they provide halal or haram is also out of the question. Also, as in the Quran, Allah says, فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. Every single Muslim has a responsibility to ensure that what he consumes is the best from what he consumes. Also, the principle of Sharia with regards to everything else, that Allah shufil ash-shay'a al-ibaha, that everything else that you consume, its origin is halal. Well, with regards to meat and poultry, until it is not made halal with the method shown by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it doesn't become halal. Now, introduction to HMC. A few years back, Maulana Muhammad Khalifa, who is sitting here today, Maulana from France, he used to reside in France, originally Algerian. He, when he came to England, he was here for a few years before that, but he, with a few other close friends of his, analyzed the situation of the meat and poultry trade in this country. And the reason why he had concern was because there was a system set up in France by the name of AVS. It's been there for 12 to 13 years, who had the responsibility of ensuring that every part of meat and poultry is guaranteed halal. Maulana was obviously familiar with this environment. When he came to England, he had this concern. When he made an assessment, he came to realize that a lot of the products of meat and poultry were not to the level that they should be. So he consulted a few local ulama in Leicester, bearing in mind that he was residing in Leicester, and they, on a couple of occasions, travelled to France, and they observed the system which was already in place there, and they came here and they made an effort to establish a very, very similar system. So for the 2 years, HMC at the moment has been running actively for about 1 year and just above. But prior to it being established, the Maulana himself, as well as the other local ulama, of whom was Maulana Zakariya Sahib, Mr. Muhammad Sahib, they established HMC by doing a survey of how many slaughterhouses there were in Leicester that were actually providing so-called halal meat to the halal trade. They then went and visited those slaughterhouses, went and looked how things were being slaughtered, had discussions with them on whether they would be ready to accept the HMC system and so forth. When they did that, they had, alhamdulillah, a lot of groundwork done. They were at a point where they could form a monitoring committee and bring up a system which was very similar to the system set up in France. Now, was there ever a need to form such a committee? Well, the answer was yes. Because the conclusion that came from this survey and this assessment, and not just that, but brothers must be aware of the program broadcasted by BBC called Chicken Run. And in there basically they had made it quite clear that a lot of the products consumed by the Muslims, and not just by the Muslims, but the population of England, is not what it seems. And one of the things that I mentioned was basically the chicken burgers that were coming over from abroad, Holland and Netherlands, places like that. They were actually injected with pork enzymes. And this was made public by the broadcast Chicken Run. Now, it's unfortunate to say that a lot of these are actually labeled halal. And the Muslim population have obviously been consuming these for a while. So, there was obviously this type of problem. Other problems were such as, if we go into the detailed look of the actual problem that we faced, slaughtermen at certain abattoirs were not reciting the tasmiyah. One of the members of HMC actually went to a slaughterhouse who was, and this is a Muslim slaughterhouse, who has been supplying chicken for a long, long time to the halal industry in Leicester. And up to that point, the local butchers who were actually buying from that slaughterhouse were very confident by calling themselves halal, because they used to say that we buy from this particular slaughterhouse. The Maulana that went to that slaughterhouse was observing the slaughter taking place. The person doing the slaughter was actually talking while doing the slaughter, and there was no tasbihah being read at all. Whereas the condition of one of the conditions of slaughter, Allah SWT says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la ta'kulu mimma lam yuzkar ismu Allah alayh. Now, obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse of the Quran is making it quite clear that which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not been read upon, one should abstain from. There must be a reason for the name of Allah to be specifically read and mentioned. There must be a reason, Allah, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not mention that. But that one point was being basically not executed. The slaughter was being done without the recitation of Bismillah. And this was done in front of one of the alims who is one of the members of HMC. So, problems like that. Second problems, certain slaughterhouses that were providing halal meat to the industry, the slaughtermen were actually non-Muslims. So, this was another problem. The veins that need to be cut, three out of the four veins, not all the veins were being cut. So, that again could render the animal haram. But because of the mass production, all these points are not actually looked into. And they just churn the chicken and poultry and meat out of the abattoirs without any emphasis on these points whatsoever. Now, these are the problems that were there. But the other problems on the other side was, let's say for instance, there was a Muslim doing a slaughter. He is reading the tasmiyah, but in order for the chicken to be slaughtered easily, they would use methods of stunning. Now this is a very, very big issue in which a lot of people have done a lot of debate and so forth. But at the moment, if you just basically look at the issue of stunning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he demonstrated the method of zabah to the ummah, he demonstrated a method which was direct by using the knife direct on the animal without any form of stun or anything else. And one of the doctors who is very, very knowledgeable in this field of halal, his name is Dr. Abdul Aziz Khatmi, he was supposed to come today, he's not here today. He, when we went to London, he gave a speech, and one of the things that he mentioned, which is very, very moving, especially for the ulama, he said, after demonstrating the method of slaughter, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ, that by using this method, one should give ease and tranquility to the animal that he is doing zabah. Today, the West want to push stunning simply for this reason. And they say that by stunning you actually give ease and tranquility, and by not using the method of stunning you are using method which give which basically are cruelty to animals. Now if we look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the doctor said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that by using my method you are actually giving peace and tranquility to the animal, so this is not cruelty. So when the ummah has a method which is a perfect method, we should obviously be using that method then, rather than going to something which is actually harmful as proven later on and cruel to animal itself. Second thing, at the moment the law states that the Muslims and the Jews, they do not need to stun the animals. It is not a requirement. And in fact, just about 2 months ago at the Farm Animal Welfare Council, they were debating this issue whether they should ban non-stunning, meaning lift the exemption which is there at the moment for the Muslim and Jews. But alhamdulillah, that had been rejected and it's now been postponed for a later stage. So even today the issue of non-stunning is there, and the Muslims can slaughter the animals according to the way shown by the Prophet ﷺ. There is not a necessity. So why are we going towards something that we don't even have to do? The law does not require us to do stunning. The harms of stunning are basically listed here. One is that it prevents all the blood flowing out the body. The idea of the zabah is that when the veins are cut, all the blood gushes out of the body, the bacteria is removed, the animal becomes tayyib, as mentioned in the Quran. A lot of the illnesses that are passed on from chicken and meat is because the animal is not slaughtered in the manner shown by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scientists have actually proven that some of the cases of BSE and even the chicken and other animal diseases are done because of the way they slaughter, the methods they use prior to slaughter. For example, even in the beef, the BSE, they have proven that one of the reasons was because they were using the captive bolt, which what they do is basically they bolt a gun by using a gun to the head of the cow, and that blasts the brain. If the brain gets damaged, it gets crushed, obviously all those particles flow into the body, and this is what causes the diseases. So that these different problems. Second is that you are actually causing harm to the animal by giving it, by stunning it, whether you use a captive bolt or you use electric, whatever, you are causing harm to the animal, and then you have to do zabah again. And the fourth thing, which is most important obviously, that when the animal becomes unconscious because of stunning, the effect of Bismillah the animal cannot receive. Now the idea of Bismillah, Allah alone knows, but obviously the most benefit can be achieved when the animal is conscious, it's alive and it's well. That obviously the animal will be deprived of. Now this is obviously is the issue of stunning itself. Going back to the issue of stunning, of what harms it does, one of the things I was mentioned with regards to the actual chicken dying before slaughter. The Farm Animal Welfare Council, this is the governmental body, they have given the statistics that 33% of the chicken which are stunned die before they are slaughtered, yet they enter the market labeled halal. They actually have given this information that 33% of stunned chicken come into the market labeled halal, whereas they're actually dead before they even slaughtered, meaning the haram. Now the statistics also show that 80% of the chicken consumed in England are stunned. So out of the 100% of chicken in England, 80% are stunned, and from those 80%, 33% are all definitely haram. This is the Farm Animal Welfare Council giving these statistics. We had a meeting with the governors of prisons, and the head of prisons from London came down, especially the one who was head of catering. After having a discussion with him, he was very concerned with regards to the halal meat and poultry and halal issue for the prisoners. And this inshallah will be discussed later on, but just to give you an example of what stunning actually does. He says that I went over to Holland because a lot of the halal products for the Muslim prisoners and the Muslim patients in hospital were coming over from Holland. So I went with one of the Muftis, and he's an Englishman. He says, I went with one of the Muftis to Holland. In front of our eyes, the animals were being slaughtered. So the chicken was being stunned, and it was on the shackles, and it was just waiting to be slaughtered. So we took three off the shackles. We took three off the shackles before they were slaughtered. So they were stunned, but they were just about to be slaughtered. We took three of the shackles. He said that one from those three did not get us. Now, had they not taken them off the shackles, they would have gone into production, been slaughtered, assuming it's halal, and gone into the market. But again, one in three. It basically gives who is the statistics of the government itself. So this is what stunning actually does. There's a high possibility it actually kills the chicken before even being slaughtered. Now, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the Quran is stating quite clearly that this is halal, this is haram, then there's no middle way in between. Now, that's with regards to stunning. Some places, there's not even a person slaughtering the actual animal. There's usage of rotating mechanic blasted blades. So they have a blade which rotates, and the blade is like a circular saw or any other saw, and it's engraved with the word Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Parts of Europe, this has been witnessed, and the chicken is slaughtered. Imagine, there are some places slaughtering 90 to 100,000 chickens a day. Now, there is no way that they can get through that if it's not done mechanically. And this has been witnessed, it's not just something which is being said. The facts are there for anybody to read. Most of the stuff that is processed from this type of chicken that is cut mechanically. We went to one of the places, actually Croatia, and we went to one shop which was a local shop, and we were aware that basically the processed chicken that comes from Croatia, which is either fillets or burgers, most of them are made and manufactured from meat which has been slaughtered mechanically. And we discussed with the person, just speaking about HMC, and he says, no, alhamdulillah, I buy all my stuff from a salesman, and he's a Muslim. And he wasn't aware of, he goes, I can even show you my product, it actually says halal. He brought the product and showed it to us, and it said halal, but on the right hand corner it actually said made in Croatia. Now, who went to see in Croatia whether it's been slaughtered? It's possible it was slaughtered in a way the Prophet ﷺ has shown, and according to Sharia, but nobody knows. Yet every person is consuming that, assuming it's halal. Second issue of contamination, like mentioned in the chicken run, the poultry and processed chicken that comes from abroad, injected with pork enzymes. A lot of it was done like that to increase the weight, and sometimes so that the chicken particles can remain intact, because if a chicken itself, if you try and make it together, it won't stick. So they used to add other things, and some of that was basically pork, in order for it to get together. And this was then being sold to local Muslim butchers and under the name of halal. Another issue of chicken as well. It can be slaughtered according to Sharia, everything. But when after it's slaughtered, it has to be defeathered. The feathers have to be taken out. Now, nowadays they're not done manually, it gets done through a machine. So what happens, it goes into a tank, the feathers are boiled, and then a machine rotates and it takes the feathers off. If the water is above a limit, it will boil the chicken, the inside of the chicken, which is dirt and filth, will contaminate the rest of the chicken. That chicken then will become halal, haram. So even though initially it's halal, because of the method used, it can become halal, haram. So obviously none of this is monitored or looked at. So this is obviously the reason why it was necessary that if you can form some kind of body which will regulate at every point slaughter, tasmiya, the water, everything, if they can regulate all that, then inshallah we can say that the product that which is being consumed is to the standards expected by Sharia. Now, what are the aims and objectives of HMC? Well, like I said, the first thing to obviously is to regulate and monitor the product from end to end. Now, when I go on to the actual how HMC works and its operation, I shall explain of how from top to end we have a monitoring system. But the idea is to regulate and monitor the product from beginning to end. There's a lot of certifications going around. I mean, a lot of certain houses say that we have a certification from this particular body, we are certified from this particular body. But the way those certification bodies work is that they'll come look at the slaughterhouse and they'll issue a certificate. Simple as that. What happens after that, nobody knows. So, you know, there's no monitoring, there's no regulation, nobody knows what's going on. So, I mean, it's quite simple. If I want to be certified, I can call a certification body, clean myself up for that day, they look at everything, it's all okay, they give me a certificate. After that day, what I do, it's nobody's business. So this obviously was not good enough. So what we thought is that we have a monitoring body which can regulate it at every single point until it gets to the local butchers. By doing that, the aim and objective is that we can instill confidence in the Muslim consumers by saying that what you're eating is halal because it's halal, not because it says it's halal. We can guarantee and verify that no, from this point to this point, it's been inspected and it's definitely halal. Now, obviously, if you want to guarantee something, you have to have a symbol, you have to have a certification. So, alhamdulillah, we developed some form of certification, some form of labels, which we'll be able to see, inshallah, at the back. And this will signify that the product is guaranteed halal. The consumer, he walks into the shop, he sees his certificate, he can be rest assured that this is definitely halal. Not because it says, but it's actually been monitored and it is halal. Now, another policy of HMC, we should say, that we will only comment on certified products. People question that, do you then say that this person is haram? Well, we don't say that. And the Halal Monitoring Committee is not there for that. The Halal Monitoring Committee is there to serve the public, give confidence to the public, give confidence to the trade industry themselves. A lot of the butchers don't know what they're buying. I went to a butcher, I asked him that, the products that you buy from, have you ever been to the slaughterhouse? And he said no. A lot of them actually have never seen a slaughterhouse, never, because they buy from the middleman, and he's a Muslim who's labeled halal, they assume it's halal and they buy it. What goes on behind the scenes, nobody needs to know. So, you know, we do not comment on non-certified products. All we can say is that where you see a HMC tag, a symbol, a sticker, or a certificate, that we can give you a guarantee that inshallah, from the beginning till end, this is halal. After that, we don't know. So if something has not been certified, nobody is there to say it's haram, na'udhu billah. But again, on the same note, we can't guarantee through the HMC inspection that it's HMC certified. We don't know that, because we haven't obviously certified it. And it's quite simple. You have two items which look very, very similar, they're identical. You know, you have one with, let's say for instance, two mobile phones. One has a Nokia brand. The other one is exactly the same, but it's handwritten Nokia. You know, one can say, well, this is guaranteed, this one I don't know. So it's the same thing, basically. The criteria which we used, because obviously we have to work according to criteria in order to certify and give a guarantee. So what we thought is that we will use one criteria which is acceptable to every single person. The issue of stunning, some ulama have approved stunning. Some people say stunning is okay. Well, we don't want to get into that. Whether it's okay or not, we don't want to get into that. What we thought, we'll use a criteria which every single person can accept and the Muslim public at large can benefit from it. So if we used a method of stunning and we said, right, we don't mind stunning, then those people who are very, very particular about non-stun products, they cannot consume HMC products because it's stun. But if we had a criteria that, okay, you can't stun, then those that don't accept stunning will be able to consume that product. And those that accept it, obviously they can consume it as well because it doesn't make a difference to them. So the first criteria we used was that it has to be one which is acceptable to everybody without difference of opinion. First issue of stunning. It has to be non-stunt, as simple as that. Now, there are a lot of certification bodies which allow stunning. So we're not arguing against them. If anybody wants to look at and come to a conclusion with regards to the fatwas of stunning and non-stunning, a lot of fatwas available, they can come to their own conclusion. HMC is there to ensure that the product which is presented to you, everybody can agree to. It's simple as that. And the only way they can do that is the product itself, prior to Zabai, is non-stunt. Second, it has to be manually slaughtered. No machines, no blessed blades. It has to be done manually with a verbal recitation of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim or Bismillah Allahu Akbar. And the person who slaughters must be a Muslim. That's the condition. Going on to the operation of HMC, how it actually works. When the committee was formed, a few ulama, and we managed to get people trained up in order to do either zabah themselves or basically inspect the zabah. So we have the HMC board which consists of the ulama as well, and alhamdulillah they look after the issues of sharia, anything to do with the sharia and the fatawas, they will look after, they will consult the ulama and so forth. And the board is formed basically by professionals as well as the ulama. We have the managerial body who looks after the day-to-day running of HMC, contact the slaughter houses, arranging for the inspectors, all the office duties basically they will look after. We have the inspectors who actually witness the zabah and also who do the tagging and stamping and so forth. And then we have a couple of supervisors who overlook the inspectors to make sure that basically they are doing the job correctly and so forth, and they will also liaise with the different slaughter houses and abattoirs. What happens is that we went to different slaughter houses, and alhamdulillah the amount of slaughter houses that we've got on board at the moment are 12 slaughter houses. With the cutting plant and slaughter houses, there are about 12. Now, just before going into that, because the industry of meat and poultry is such that it's not localized, so it's not that if you live in Leicester, your meat comes from Leicester. That's not necessary. A lot of the stuff that is from Leicester is in Leicester, actually doesn't even come from Leicester. The suppliers are in Yorkshire, some are in Bolton, some are in other places in Lancashire and so forth. It's a national thing. So it's not necessary that where you're buying your stuff from is actually from the same city. So we visited these slaughterhouses. There were quite a few slaughterhouses that were actually doing non-stunt products anyway. So there the only problem was, or the only issue was, that they have an inspector there who witnesses the zabah and makes sure that recitation and so forth is being read. And then after that is done, after the production line, he will basically tag and certify the chicken or the lamb. So that wasn't a problem. There were some places that were doing stunning, but because of pressure from the local butchers, they agreed to have part of their production non-stunned. So they would then switch off and disable the stunning machine, and our inspector would be there to ensure that there's no stunned products there, stunned machinery, and the production will be made non-stunned, and then he would obviously certify. So alhamdulillah, these slaughterhouses and these cutting plants, there are 12 in the whole of the country at the moment. They are gradually increasing. The butchers that are HMC certified, which I'll again explain later on, at the moment there's about 22 who are 100% HMC certified. So this is how the system works, that if the slaughterhouse agrees to have an inspector there, he will agree on the contract between HMC and him and themselves that first thing is that the products will be non-stunned. Second, the HMC inspector will have access to all areas of the slaughterhouse, the water tanks at the point of slaughter and so forth. Only the HMC personnel will tag and stamp the chicken or lamb. And beef, alhamdulillah, we have beef coming in from Ireland as well, so that's also certified. So we place the inspectors there. These three inspectors are trained and they are notified with regards to what needs to be done the veins that need to be cut, and so they're aware of the Islamic responsibility. When the zabah is being done, they stand there and they witness the zabah. After the production of zabah, depending on the size of the slaughter house, if there's a big slaughter house, then we may need two inspectors. If it's a small slaughter house, one is sufficient. So after the production is done, it goes off the shackles, off the line. At the end, the HMCC inspector will stand there and he will individually tag or stamp. If it's red meat, they are stamped. We have a personal HMC stamp. It's using the special ink, which is for food, and they stamp individually every single product. And it says HMC certified. This will ensure that it's been inspected at time of zabah, and now it's been stamped. If it's chicken, they'll be individually tagged. And you'll see the different types of stickers and tags we use. That will be done by the inspectors at either at the slaughterhouse and the abattoirs. Now from there, it either goes directly to the butchers, or it goes via a processing plant, which is basically what you call a cutting plant. Once it's sealed from the slaughterhouse, stamped and then sealed, if it's going to go to a distributor, a place where they cut, let's say for instance the whole chicken. Nowadays you can buy ready-made fillets, you can buy ready-made legs, you can buy different parts of chicken, because they're already cut, not at the shop, but they cut at a place elsewhere, which is a cutting plant. So we have certain cutting plants who are HMC certified as well, where we have inspectors there also. The responsibility for them is to ensure that the delivery is received by them. So they will be there at the cutting plant and at the processing plant. When the delivery is received, they will make sure that the seal is intact. If the seal is intact, every single chicken or lamb is individually tagged, then they will allow that to be processed. Now obviously, in the cutting plant, in the slaughterhouses, in the butchers, where the HMC inspectors work, to make it cost effective for them, we make sure that the HMC inspectors work with them. So yes, at time of slaughter and at time of tagging, they will be doing their job, but in between, they will assist and help the slaughterhouse and the cutting plant for the duties that they need to. For example, chopping the chicken, whatever they need to do, they will help and assist them to make it cost effective for the processing plants and so forth. So it's processed now. So let's say for instance, the whole chicken has come, it's tagged, it's cut and everything made into pieces. It will be bagged in front of him and he will then reseal it. So it's now sealed at the second stage. From there, it goes on to the butchers. Now, the agreement we have with the butchers is if you agree to have only those products in your store which are HMC certified, then we will issue you with a certificate. That certificate will ensure and give a guarantee to yourself as well as a satisfaction to the customers that everything in the shop, fresh meat and fresh poultry, is basically been certified from A to Z. If they agree with that, then they have an agreement, contract is signed, and we inspect them primarily for about 3 weeks, between 2 to 4 weeks. And the shop is inspected daily by an inspector who will go to the shop. He will have free access to anywhere in the shop, the storage, the display, wherever. This is the agreement. It's very, very stringent, but it has to be done. If they agree on that, then the inspector will make sure that basically the products that are in, they are sealed. For example, how does the inspector work? Well, if you go into the butcher shop, you'll see a display. In the display, there'll be a tray of maybe cut fillets, diced chicken, maybe a tray of legs. But that, obviously, that's only a percentage of what he's ordered. That is only a percentage of what he has ordered. So the inspector will check the display, but he'll go into the freezer. If the shopkeeper has ordered 10 bags of fillets, obviously only one is in the display. The other 9 will still be sealed. There's no reason for him to open them. Same with the legs, same with the whole chicken. If he's got 5 chicken in the display, he'll have another 5-6 trays inside the freezer, which are all individually tagged. So this is how the inspector will basically ensure. This is how they will ensure that basically everything is tagged and so forth. If they agree, then we will give the a certificate to them, which is changed every single month. So certificate is only valid for 1 month. Certificate is valid for 1 month. If in between that period there is a problem, we will take that certificate away, we will give another inspection for 3-4 week period, until we are not satisfied, that certificate will basically not be reissued. The time is obviously running out, if I can just go through a couple of... This is the specimen of the certificate. This is the type of certificate. The shop name is mentioned, and the products, and the valid from and to date. The beneficiaries, like I said, the Muslim community benefit, general public, and most importantly, the Muslim prisoners, Muslim school children, and hospitals and care homes. They have no say in what they eat. So by having this system, inshallah, the food that goes to them will obviously be which is guaranteed. These are just the different things which HMC have achieved so far. Alhamdulillah, we have a branch in London as well. At the moment, there are 22 shops roughly in Leicester that are fully HMC certified. There's two to three takeaways which are Alhamdulillah certified, which means every single that product that comes into there is individually certified by HMC from A to Z. We have 20 HMC inspectors. Other cities include London. We have about 4 shops in London which are HMC certified. Alhamdulillah, a subcommittee has been set up in London. The ulama of London are managing that, mashallah. They liaise with the organization in Leicester, and Alhamdulillah, it's working there as well. We are working every single day, Alhamdulillah, to try and get more suppliers on board. The website as well. Conclusion again, consuming halal food is an essential part of Islamic faith. Food industry has failed the Muslim community. HMC again is a non-profit making organization. If I can just verify, basically we do not charge the butchers. We do not charge the butcher even one single penny. The service is provided free of charge, and the certificate is given free of charge. It's complete 100% profit to them, not to us. The only people we charge are the slaughterhouses. Now initially what we suggested is we charge them 1 pence every kilo. If we did that, HMC would be able to financially suffice itself. But they didn't agree. Now 1 pence is hardly anything. If we charge the slaughterhouse 1 pence, the end consumer will be paying 1 pence a kilo extra, obviously, which is nothing. But they didn't agree. So at the moment what we thought, in order to get it up and running, we asked them to only pay us for the hours of the inspector, that's it. So what we charge, what we pay the inspector, we take off from the slaughterhouse and we give it to the inspector. And there's a small administration charge. If it's a very big slaughterhouse, then we charge them £250 a month for admin charge, and if it's small, then £75. Other than that, we don't charge them anything. Now the conclusion is, it's less than 0.5 a kilo. It is even less than that. Unfortunately, because there's not that many slaughterhouses on board, their organization, they've made a certain monopoly, and they're using this to profiteer themselves. But inshallah, if there are more slaughterhouses on board, there's a more availability, but it'll itself inshallah sort itself out. But a lot of the people who are working for HMC, alhamdulillah, volunteers. Only the inspectors are paid, and two or three of the admin staff in the office. Other than that, alhamdulillah, most of them are basically voluntary. The way you can support different things, inshallah, there's leaflets there for you to look at how you can support and assist. Basically create the awareness of the responsibility of the Muslim to ensure that what he is eating is halal. And for more information, you can obviously visit our website, which is www.halalmc.org. Inshallah, if there's any questions, I'm sorry I haven't been able to elaborate as much as I could or should have done, but if there's any questions,